Welcome back. I'm Jennifer Napier-Pierce, and this is City Views. The grid system mapped out by Brigham Young shapes every neighborhood in Salt Lake City except one, the Avenues. With its mansions, Victorians, and bungalows, the Avenues remains an eclectic and diverse neighborhood with an independence all its own. A new book documents the neighborhood's historical beginnings, and joining me now to talk about the architecture and the people who shaped the Avenues, Savan Lesueur. Am I saying that right?
Yes, you are.
Okay. The author of the recently published historical photo book, The Avenues, Images of America. It recounts and illustrates the changes of Salt Lake's historical neighborhood through the years. And he's currently at work on a second book scheduled to be published by University of Utah Press this fall.
Yes.
Savan Lesueur joins me in studio. Thanks very much for your time, sir.
Thank you for having me.
Also with us, Kirk Huffaker. He's the executive director of the Utah Heritage Foundation and an adjunct instructor at the University of Utah, where he teaches city and metropolitan planning. And Kirk, welcome to you.
Good morning.
If you have questions or comments about the Avenues, if you live in the Avenues, tell us why. 801-355-TALK is our number, 801-355-8255, or you can send email to cityviews@kcpw.org. Savan, before we get to some of the stories in your book, you grew up in East Mill Creek.
Yes.
You lived away for quite a number of years. You came back and decided to settle in the Avenues. Why the Avenues?
I think I was always attracted to the architecture and just how different it was from the rest of the city. My father introduced me to history at a young age, and we drove around a lot to see old neighborhoods, and I just kind of sucked it in from a young age. So when I grew up and I had an opportunity to move back to Salt Lake City and find a home, just the Avenues met the criteria that my wife and I were looking for. We wanted the diversity. We wanted the diversity in architecture, and we just wanted something a little different.
Mm-hmm. Kirk, what does set the Avenues apart from other neighborhoods with historic homes? There are historical neighborhoods across the state, really. What sets the Avenues apart?
Well, it truly is the diversity that's there. Where, you know, we look at historic significance from a standpoint of age and style of architecture, the Avenues really typifies what we look for in one of these neighborhoods that get listed on the National Register, and the Avenues was one of the first in the state.
Mm. Savan, your book highlights many of the people and the structures that you find in the Avenues in the history. You note that it was not an easy place to build. I mean, it's got slopey hillsides, lack of water.
Yes. In the early days, it was referred to as the dry bench because Salt Lake City, although it was really one of the first planned residential neighborhoods, Salt Lake City wasn't very good at getting resources to the neighborhood in terms of water specifically. And several water projects in the late 19th century helped expand the Avenues northward and higher up on the bench. But with every street that went further north, it was another challenge for the city to get water there. Initially, the first water came from City Creek Canyon, from City Creek, and was part of the everything was related to the wards, the church structure, and mm-hmm. it was part of the ward irrigation system. And so, yeah, development was slow, and it continued from 1860 to into 1930 on empty lots. And as a result, that's what brought the neighborhood such diverse architecture, where you could have a Victorian next to a bungalow, next to a 1920s cottage.
Sure. I want to get to the diversity in the architecture in a moment, but demographically, who were some of the first settlers of the Avenues?
The first settlers, of course, were LDS. The first land grants were given by Brigham Young, mostly in what is presently the western portion of the Avenues. And each block was split up into four pieces of land and granted to various individuals. But that changed rapidly. As the city grew, the area became popular with persons working in the mining industry, the railroads, and merchants. And so even from the earliest times, you started to see more diversity in this neighborhood than you did in the rest of the city, more non-LDS population than you would find in other portions of Salt Lake. Mm-hmm. So it followed the trend of LDS to more of a mixed religious atmosphere.
It was interesting that you noted that the religious diversity kind of reflected some of the architectural diversity in that neighborhood as well. Maybe describe some of the structures that we see in the Avenues that have remained.
Well, I think two of the only older churches that have remained, the 27th Ward, which is on P Street, is an excellent example of a early 20th century LDS church structure. It's great to have in the neighborhood because the other original churches that the Mormon Church built were all demolished in the 1970s. You also have the Danish Evangelical Lutheran Church on First Avenue, which was the only non-LDS church built in the neighborhood. Another unique thing in the avenues, and you find this also in other older neighborhoods around the country, is the corner grocery stores. Mm. You still have a few of them remaining in the neighborhood, and some of them converted into residences.
Mm-hmm. We're speaking with Savan LeSueur. He's author of the recently published book, The Avenues, Images of America. Also with us, Kirk Huffaker, executive director of the Utah Heritage Foundation. We're talking about the avenues. If you live there, if you used to live there, we'd love to hear from you. 801-355-TALK is our number. 801-355-8255, or send email to cityviews@kcpw.org. Kirk Huffaker, can you talk about the architectural styles that we see in the avenues? As diverse as as the residents have been, you see that many styles of homes in the avenues.
Yeah, absolutely. And really that continues today. So where we started out in the Pioneer era, you do have some of that representation of the earliest times in Salt Lake City with adobe construction, and very early styles such as the Greek Revival that took many years to migrate here from the East Coast and get used. And really, it only got used as a style for a very short period of time because we immediately entered the Victorian era. That's really a dominant style, I would say, in the avenues. You see it in all sizes and types of houses. You can have a very small cottage that's a Victorian style to a very large, what we really call a mansion today, that is very intricate in its detail. It moved on quickly to the bungalow styles, arts and crafts movements, period revival, and really into the post-war period. There were still some lots available, and large lots, some divided into smaller lots. So you do have some post-war period buildings that we would consider significant today.
Mm-hmm. Savan, your book is chock full of old photographs. It must have been great fun to go through some of the archives and see what these early homes look like. And probably, I would imagine, you're driving through the avenues now and kind of comparing notes, seeing how they have changed.
Yes. We're very fortunate to have the resources that the state has at their state history library. They have an excellent photographic collection, and it's very searchable on the internet or down at their library at the Rio Grande Depot. So, yes, it was a pleasure, and it seemed like every time that I went through the photo collections, I would discover something new, and that's very rewarding as someone who enjoys history and enjoys architecture.
Mm-hmm. You noted that a few very prominent people lived in the avenues. We talked a little bit about religious diversity, mm-hmm. but the avenues can claim some very some of the higher ups in the LDS Church. I'm thinking of President Heber J. Grant, also Utah Governor William Spry, probably best known for his refusal to overturn the death penalty for Joe Hill, the labor organizer. Talk about some of the other prominent individuals that you came across in your research who called the avenues home.
I think one of the people that always comes to my mind because I drive by her former house every day is Dr. Ellis Shipp. She was sent to Salt Lake City from American Fork at the age of 18. To live in the Lion House as, quote, one of Brigham Young's children, is how it was described in the books. But she became a polygamous wife a few months later, and one of her sister wives was sent to the Philadelphia Women's College to study medicine, and she dropped out. So Dr. Shipp went there and took up the education. She came back to Utah, helped establish the Deseret Hospital, and she spent her life training women, nurses, midwives in medicine, and had a significant impact in early medicine in the state. She went to rural communities in Utah and Idaho and taught women. And during most of this time, she lived in a home on First Avenue.
Mm. Another high-profile woman that you note in your book is Alice Horn, moved to the Avenues, 868 Second Avenue, and she operated an art gallery out of her home. And I see, as you drive through the Avenues, there is kind of an artistic flair, a tradition of artists coming to this neighborhood.
Yeah, again, that is one of the fun things that I've discovered is that you look at the Avenues as kind of an arts community, and again, it started early on. Alice Horn, as you said, she was a pioneer in the art community in Utah. She also helped establish the LDS Church's youth program, primary program, and so it's just one example of the Avenues being arts related from an early age.
Mm-hmm. Kirk Huffaker, I think that the Avenues now has a reputation as a place where people want to restore some of these historic homes, but it wasn't always that way. There were a number of structures over the years that have been torn down, and I'm thinking of in Savan's book, the tower. I can't remember the name of it, but there was kind of a lookout point.
Anderson Tower.
Tower. Why the renewed interest in restoring these older homes, do you think?
Well, you know, certainly I think people recognize that this is a real community, that there is a sense of place to this neighborhood, and they want to be a part of it, much like Savan and his family. You know, they have certain parameters in mind about where they want to live, who they want to interact with, and really what they're looking for out of where they live. So, you know, the Avenues, with its proximity to downtown, mix of affordable and large houses. You know, there's really something for everyone here. There's never been an accusation that this is not an inclusive place. If anything, this is one of the most active neighborhoods, I think, both physical activity with proximity to the foothills, politically active, active with your neighbors. You know, this is a place where you know your neighbors. And so it certainly transcends the architecture, but I think the architecture also helps foster that relationship in the neighborhood.
Mm-hmm. Savan, as you researched and wrote your book, have your perceptions of the neighborhood changed in any way?
I wouldn't say they've changed. It just reinforced the feelings I had about the neighborhood and how much I love the Avenues. And as a resident of the Avenues, and just to agree with Kirk, what he says is I can't think of a place where you know your neighbors so well. I mean, I trust my neighbors. I know everybody on my block. And with the houses so close together and the smaller blocks, and lots of times these homes don't even have driveways, it really fosters a tight community. And again, learning the history of the neighborhood just reinforced it, and I think it's always been that way.
Mm-hmm. And the debate continues. There's a current debate going on in the city about allowing adjacent structures, and I imagine that the Avenues will have its voice heard on this particular issue. Are you hearing your neighbors talking about it, Savan?
Yeah, I mean, I can't really voice an official position of leaders in the Avenues, but I think there's a lot of opposition to it. I don't know if the vision that the city government has is what happened in the past, but there's enough people in the Avenues that remember one of the things that really damaged the neighborhood was encouraging multifamily housing, and I think people look at it with adjacent, you know, adding rooms to your home or live-in type structures that's a step backwards for the neighborhood.
Savan LeSueur, he is the author of the recently published historical photo book, The Avenues, and it recounts and illustrates the changes of this historical neighborhood. He is presenting, is it a lecture, a seminar?
It's going to be, I'm just going to go through the photos of some of the photos from this book and the next book coming out, and just give a history of the neighborhood for anybody that's interested.
And that's happening this Thursday, February 9th at 6:30 at the Sweet Library Branch. That's 9th Avenue and F Street. Also with us, Kirk Huffaker, the executive director of the Utah Heritage Foundation. And gentlemen, thanks very much for your time today.
Thank you.
Thank you.
City Views is a production of KCPW News in Salt Lake City. Thanks to Tamara Kemsley and Katie Sheen Abbott. Our technical director is Jesse Ellis. Ryan Cron composed our theme music. Next time, a recent CDC survey shows some gaps in knowledge among teen parents in Utah, which leads to the question, what are kids learning about sex in public schools? Join us for that discussion tomorrow. For City Views, I'm Jennifer Napier-Pierce.